Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have the Web3 Social Impact with Future Foundation. Let's take a listen.
We're going to start, I don't know, in about a minute or two. So get a cup of coffee, all the good things. Hey, Carl, good to see you.
What's going on, Mike? Sorry, why did I say Mike? Dave, I was just typing the word Mike.
All good, man. All good.
We're not recording
yet,
are we?
Oh, hey, this is all for time memorial, you know?
I was just writing out Chauncey and Mike, and then I said Mike.
All good, man.
I was testing the mic.
Hey, see, that's a way to land a plane. Cool. I just made you a co-host as well, just in case, you know, things happen.
Things happen. Internet goes out.
Yeah. Ben had a really great Twitter Spaces with Gitcoin the other day. And unfortunately, his internet kept on cutting out. I was like, oh, no.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
I felt they handled it pretty professionally, though. They kept the conversation going.
Oh, completely. I mean, talk about a vamp and like pass the mic around.
Well, looks like we've got our two other speakers. So let's add them.
Yep. I'm doing that now.
Inviting Leanne as well.
Perfect.
All right, Gary.
Gary, I think you're muted. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Perfect.
Nice. Awesome, awesome. How's everyone doing today?
You know, it's a bit cool and rainy here in New York, but can't complain otherwise.
Oh, so Carl, I mean, it's a day from the Seattle perspective, huh?
Exactly.
That's true.
Taste of Seattle.
There we go. Hey, let's make sure that Leanne can do this. Hey, Leanne, I think if you're on your phone, you should have received an invite to become a speaker.
Just don't let Ben speak.
Oh, no. It's not Ben, man. It's his internet.
We were just chatting about that, Ben. Welcome to the space.
Great. Here we go. I think I'm in now. Sorry, I was on my computer, so I've confused things.
Hey, no worries. Glad it worked out. And perfect. Hey, and why don't we give just folks maybe just a few minutes to join? And if not, I know folks have already reached out and said, hey, they can't make it, but they'd love to check out the recording. So one hand, you can think of this as a live, you know,
live
session. Yeah. And the other one is a live podcast, 100%.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, I agree. Here, let me just do one thing. And then in just a sec, Carl, I'll just really turn it over to you.
Leanne, it's nice to meet you. I feel like I've seen you on Discord, but we've never chatted before.
All right. It's the way the world goes right now. You either meet on Discord or Spaces or this, that, the other thing, but you don't get to speak live. So no, I agree. Right back at you. It's very cool.
Happy Friday to you.
Yeah.
We're saying it's kind of cool and rainy here in New York and Seattle, but how are things where you are?
It is sort of muggy but overcast as well, so it's not a nice, not what I'd call a nice summer's day, but you know, it's life, right?
Yeah. So welcome everyone, those who are listening live and those who might be listening to the recording. The whole goal of this space is to really do a deep dive on active projects that are working at the intersection of Web3 and social impact. So IoDave and I were hosting this space every 2 weeks. We kind of began by featuring people who are founders or core contributors of social impact projects that are within the Future Foundation community. And last session, for those of you who are able to join, we heard about some amazing projects, Angel Protocol, Leyline, Proof of Good DAO. And soon we hope to extend our reach to people that are outside of the immediate Future Foundation community, or green pill them to join the community and join the Discord with us. So today, we're going to be hearing from two really pioneering members of the Future Foundation. I think they were among the first people who joined. So we have Gary Shang from DreamDAO, and we have Leanne Batts from Islands of Cool. And I believe, Leanne, you're joining us from one of the coolest islands of the world, New Zealand. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, indeed. Oh. The future, nearly. I'm a few hours ahead, right? So I'm calling from the future.
You are calling from Friday. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I can tell you it's a good one. You'll enjoy it.
Excellent. Well, I hope I make it through Thursday and can look forward to Friday, given those good vibes you're sending from the future. I'd love to actually begin with you and to hear a bit more about your backstory, how you got into Web3, and the story behind Islands of Cool.
Yeah, sure. The story of how we get into Web3, and it, like everyone, it's a rabbit hole, right? You start with something kind of probably simple, and then you know, you don't look back, basically. So with where we started was all around you know, looking at climate action and then looking into carbon credits and all the rest of it. But really, we looked at Web3 as a way, or you know, specifically NFTs and things like that, as a way of proof, to prove to say that we were, you know, what we were saying is what we were also doing, and we could show that. So that's really where it all started, and it's absolutely grown from there. Into now, what we're trying to do is actually use the technology to basically bake in the good, right? Bake in the, you know, default action, essentially. So it started very simple and got very out of hand, nearly, you could say. So here we are today, you know, building in Web3, you know, with a plan that can actually, that digital space that we build can actually help our physical world.
Awesome. That prompts a lot of questions, which I want to come back to in a second. But first, sure. let's just introduce Gary from another pretty cool island. Gary, what's your story? How did you get into Web3? What are you up to at DreamDAO?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me, Carl and Dave. Love seeing the evolution of Future Foundation. I'm excited to build with y'all. So got into Web3 mainly by way of civics. So I was at Google. My first job post college was Google as a software engineer, and that was a great experience for a lot of reasons. But I felt like I needed to do more to support civil society, to support the future of American democracy. So I left Google to co-found Civics Unplugged, which is all about training a new generation of democracy reformers, civic innovators, civic leaders, and that has been a pretty successful experiment so far over the last almost 3 years now. And a few months ago, we had a conversation as a team, and we were like, yo, Web3 is no joke anymore. It's not just purely for financial speculation. This is a movement that's bring together building all sorts of tools that could be used to change the world for the better. And decentralized. My auto Twitter timer went off. My screen time went off.
We've got you.
So decentralization, I think, is really key to building healthier, more resilient, more corruption-proof systems, which has everything to do with social impact. So we looked at the state of Web3 and social impact education, and I think it literally goes back to a conversation with with Dave, actually, where I was like, what's happening here? And we both were kind of just sanity checking with each other and some other people. And we're like, a lot more needs to be done. So I'm focused on the high school empowerment side of Web3 and social impact. You know, I think Future Foundation, how Future Foundation fits in, it's for everyone, really, to create a community around this intersection.
So I want to hear, both of you mentioned that you saw a need to make social impact kind of at the forefront of Web3. You kind of saw the potential, but you saw that was also being not well addressed. So I'm kind of curious, was there kind of a particular moment, or was there some, I guess, like thing that got into your mind that made you feel that this was so important that you actually wanted to, you know, start creating a DAO, start creating a project to work on this? Like, what was the moment where you realized that this was something that actually needs to exist?
Yeah, I can shoot first if it's okay, Gary. But I don't know that it was a moment. Like I said, when we started this journey, you know, if you're not really aware of Web3, and then you start to learn what that is and where that's going, and that includes everything under the sun that is Web3, which is not, you know, perfectly defined at this point in time either. And a lot of us sort of hand on heart don't know where this will go. But I think when you can see an evolution of the internet, which is essentially what it is there's a chance now for us doing, you know, our certain things in this world to try and change it for the better, to actually kind of default set that in, you know, bake it in from the beginning, use this technology to actually help these things and build it in a way where it can be done. And that's, I think, the opportunity and, you know, I get goosebumps and go, we actually can just start this the right way. We get the chance to build this with the future in mind, rather than, you know, picking it up down the track when it's already built and really hard to change. We actually get to start again in some ways. And I think that for us is really where we're coming from, and see that massive opportunity, really.
And Carl, can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, just saying, what was the inflection point for you where you realized that Web3 had this tremendous potential around social impact, but that it wasn't being, you know, it wasn't at the forefront of people's discussions or the things that were going on, and therefore you saw an opportunity to create something?
Yeah. So I still think that it's kind of hard to Google like really successful case studies, but as I was kind of exploring this intersection like 5 months ago, I was pleased to see that there were some case studies. Some of them were like on the consensus websites. But they, just as importantly as like the like cross international border payments use case and documenting war crimes in war-torn areas. I was like, you know, the list goes on of like actual examples of like social impact use cases, but DAOs kind of were starting to blow my mind. I never heard of that term before until like five months ago. And when my friend who I bumped into at a unofficial like Masari Mainnet New York City conference side event was like, hey, I joined this thing called FWB and you should join it. Crypto is going to be really big. And it all sounds kind of like ridiculous that I didn't know about these things, because I am pretty, I try to be pretty plugged into a lot of things, but I just hadn't thought about crypto. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. Even though my brother is full time in crypto, and I got him into crypto in 2016 or 2017, I had just totally shut off like thinking about crypto until like 5 months ago. And I was like, wow, there's something really interesting here. Cause I'd always been like, for a long time, I'd been like super bullish on communities being critical to making impact. And I'm like, oh, like it's super nascent in this space right now. But if we can figure out how to coordinate communities and sustain communities, create better tooling for communities so they don't have to be like, I don't know. Right now, you have to be like a workaholic and a philosopher to be a good community builder. And I've actually never said that. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to even like think these things through. But like so many things need to be way more automated. Best practices need to be established so that tooling can be developed around those best practices. And we are all pioneering what the future of communities of impact are going to be, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I mean, it seems like the communities, at least the early communities that are forming around these projects, are just they're very deep. Like people are talking about really, really big issues. They're optimistic, and at the same time, they're very open to seeing where things go once people join and bring their ideas and bring their best selves to the discussions. So I'd love to, because you are working, Gary, with high school students, people that are probably, very new to this, just by virtue of their age. Tell us a bit more about what the community looks like, and then also what have been some of the on-ramps to find high school students, Gen Zers, and to bring them on.
Yeah, so there's two kinds of community members, and I'm really honored that Luna, who's in the audience, and Carl and Dave are all champions of our Dream DAO. And so that's like one kind of member, which is it's the people that have committed, hey, we believe in Gen Z, we believe in the future of Web3 and social impact, let's help Gen Z become that future. Then we have builders. Oliver is one of them. He has one of our NFTs in his profile picture. Oliver's awesome. It's truly a diverse community of mainly 15 to 20 year olds who believe that a much brighter future is possible if we all work together and we're able to leverage revolutionary new technologies like Web3 technologies. They literally span all over the world. So we have about 45 builders, and I think we do span South America, North America, Europe, and Asia, and that's pretty amazing to me. And we'll have even more continents when we bring in more people in this next round of onboarding. Majority young women, because and part of why that's so important is because Web3 will benefit so much and be able to benefit the world if we bring more diverse perspectives and talents in the space.
That's amazing, Gary. Thank you for sharing that. And again, I've been so privileged to be a member as a champion and to watch as the community has grown. It's a truly remarkable community, really focused on learning together and on being able to build with positive intent in mind. So it's everything you described and more. Leanne, tell us a bit about your community. How did it kind of begin and what does it look like now?
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I'd take a step back and go, the community that I've founded, just coming into this space and, recent history, including Future Foundation and, all the people you kind of come across when you start to learn around this space has been phenomenal, right? Most people here are willing to share their knowledge, help you learn, and really give, which is very different to me, what feels like from the real world in many times. People here don't tend to see you as competitive, but a comrade and, a potential collaborator rather than anything else first, which is, I think that gives you hope, really, because it's the time where we now do have to band together if we're going to solve these massive issues that we're all talking about, and what Web3 gives us is the tools to kind of coordinate that, essentially. And then so with our community that sort of is really around us now is very limited. So we have not gone large, wide, big just yet. With Islands of Cool, what we're doing is building that sort of digital space, and we're using art to do that, and fundamentally NFTs, right? So we've built what we call Island One, which is our sort of Genesis Island of Islands of Cool. And actually we've broken that up and selling that off to what is essentially our earliest investors. So we have 100 of those. We've sold 55 or 56, I can't actually recall exactly. What we call them is our VCC, but you know, a play on VC funding, but also they're our very cool club, and they range, you know, a lot of people that we already know and already engage with through our walks of life. But, you know, there's Olympians, entrepreneurs, we've got retired board members of, you know, big corporations. What we don't have at this stage, because it's, these pieces are not cheap, it's $1,000 US. And so unfortunately that does cut out, you know, Gen Zers, the people that we really, I guess, trying to do this work and set up the future for. So the next phase for us is really growing into that space and actually, you know, like what the likes of Dream DAO and Gary are up to, is really engaging with the people that we want to help build the future with. So yeah, that's what our roadmap's all about, and bringing in a much wider community. But at this moment in time, that's where we're at.
And just building on that, are the people that are purchasing these NFTs, are they first-time collectors? Are they people that are already pretty active and have other NFTs? Like, what are some of the profiles that you have?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mix, but by and large, it's people that are, this is their first NFT. You know, they don't even know what this is. That they have to learn about this world as much as anything else. But they like what we're doing. They like the vision, I guess. So then that's been really hard for us, right? Like, how do you bring people in when, you know, the buying experience is really horrible? You got to convince them to, you know, go through a wallet, and it feels very scary if you're not in this space to sort of jump into crypto. And then, of course, we're coming from a climate perspective and all around carbon removal. And if you've ever heard anything about NFTs, you know, if you're not in this space, all you've heard is that they're bad for the planet. And you know, exactly what we're trying to do is flip that script. But again, it's sort of like, hang on a minute, there's so many questions. So, you know, this, I think by getting this out there, it's really good because we have a way for people to engage with us properly. Like, when you buy this, you take a seat at the table for this project. That's your ticket to sit around the table with us and actually do this all together, right? So this is a ticket into doing it with us. And that was, you know, the beauty of it. But it's also is really, really scary for people. But it's growing nice and organically. We didn't want to so-called shill this. It was never, it's not about selling out. It's about finding the right people with the right vision to come and help us build something, you know, epically cool together, basically.
That's amazing. I love that. Let's start with getting the right people in first, and then through that decide how big this is going to get and who else exactly. We're going to try and reach out to. That's amazing.
Exactly.
I'm just curious because this is something that comes up a lot. And I think for many people, you know, I think both Gary and you are in many cases people's first introduction to Web3 and things like NFTs. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm guessing, Gary, in your case, maybe a Skywalker is the first NFT that many members of your community have ever minted before. So are there any kind of lessons learned around how to demystify some of the things like getting a wallet and actually going in and minting something? And once you've minted it, where is it? Do you have any kind of frequently asked questions or canned responses to those types of noob questions?
Yeah, I think all of the above, unfortunately. And for a lot of these things at the moment, they are not solved. You know, this is what is keeping, I guess, the early adopters being early adopters and the mainstream not yet being quite tapped into, right? But we're nearly there with this space. You know, things are in the pipes, you know, in the plans and starting to get easier. For us, it was, again, you know, we're not talking about thousands of people and thousands of NFTs. This is, you know, if someone's joining us, we can have a phone call and sit down and, you know, help them walk through the process. But for us, even we've got a fiat on ramp, so paying and, you know, paying with your credit card, which made it just that step easier. So really what that means is there's a manual process next to go and mint and then airdrop and all that jazz. But we found that even just made it so much easier for people going, okay, this is super scary and I don't know what I'm doing. But rather than having to go off and buy crypto first, that made it a big difference. So if anyone's out there trying to do the same thing, I think that's a really important step is try and make that first purchase or whatever it is really familiar. You know, and that comes back to just, you know, everyday user experience learnings from, you know, e-commerce. You've just got to try and make that really familiar, easy, trustworthy. It's not as easy as it sounds, but it is possible.
I love that. Cohere, I've added you as a speaker. Do you want to you want to speak?
Thank you. Yes. Hey, everyone. My name is Marcus. I'm David. Actually, we were in touch previously, but it's really awesome to be here. So sorry, Islands of Cool. I didn't catch your name.
Leanne.
Leanne. Okay. Awesome. Great to meet. So, I mean, I think just by way of context, so Cohere, we're setting up global co-living communities around the world, innovation hubs, really, focused on environmental regeneration and social impact, leveraging the power of Web3. So obviously this conversation is super aligned and love the work that all of you are doing in through the different channels you're working on. But I think one of the key challenges and why I got up here on stage was to like explore a little bit, you know, I guess two different things. Like one is onboarding, you know, non-Web3 people who are oftentimes many, you know, people who work at the intersection of social impact. There isn't a lot of overlap there, right? So it's like, what does that onboarding process look like? What does the education kind of protocol look like for you? And especially given that, like, if, for example, setting up a DAO, right, is such a complex operation as it stands now. And it, already, if you're familiar with Web3, it's kind of like navigating a maze, let alone like the, you know, user end side of things can oftentimes be very complex. So we'd love to like explore that onboarding, you know, social impact, community members that are not familiar with Web3 into your organizations. And then also, yeah, how we change the narrative around Web3 and how we can actually bring it towards a much more social impact oriented narrative, right? Like, I just wanted to explore those two different things. Things may come up later, but just kicking things off there.
Well, thanks so much for that that great question, Cohere. And everyone jump in. Dave, Carl, is it Leah or Leanne?
Leanne,
I'm very quick
when I speak.
Leanne, great. It's going to take a lot of work to shift people's skepticism, not just change narratives, but also change culture itself, right? Like, we don't want to be PR people. We want to be we want to be cultivators, right? Like, we want to create regen culture. And I think before Future Foundation existed and before DreamDAO existed, you had Gitcoin, for example, that was just like really trying to meme a better philosophy into existence. So I've personally taken a lot of inspiration from that, of just trying to put out the bat. It's kind of everything at once. Right? It is narrative. It is culture. Building is recruiting actual people that can be the future of Web3 and social impact. I think it is important to like send out the bat signal that there is a place for Web3 and social impact people. So Future Foundation, I think, does a great job of that. I think a lot of us are trying to do a great job of that. I actually made a video yesterday saying you should, and this especially goes for people building at the intersection of Web3 and social impact, you should post more content about, you should post regularly about what you're working on and what you're passionate about and what you're knowledgeable about. And that's so that people know that there's Web3 and social impact projects and that they're exciting enough to post about. I'm like totally serious. It's so simple. But if what you're doing is actually exciting, you're actually doing everyone a disservice from not talking about it more.
Yeah, I agree. You know, in talking about onboarding people to the space and trying to overcome any fears that they might have and things like that, I think, like anything, early adopters will be in. There's no problem with trying to get them. It's the next sort of phase. And granted, the technology has to catch up and actually help us do that job. But you know, make that, you know, take away some of those barriers that currently exist today. And that is a little bit of a waiting game. But for us, it's really about trying to create something that doesn't actually specifically say this is in Web3 or these are NFTs or anything like that. It's really about, for us, you know, what we try and do when we talk about buying a piece of Island One, for example, is we don't talk about you buying an NFT. You are buying a very cool club membership, which gives you a seat at the table to do this project, you know, which is, you know, building a digital space that helps our physical world. So we try and normalize it for people and say, look, that's actually what you're getting. The technology itself doesn't actually, it's the machine that makes it all work, but it's not actually the cool part about it. The cool part about it is what everyone here is putting on top of that technology, you know? And when I come from a background of sort of sport and the commercial side of sport. And so obviously I've looked into what NBA Top Shots have done as well. And again, they brought in, a non-native community because they make it super easy. You know, you can buy with your credit card. You go to one place. The wallet is just a simple sign up. So we just have to look to things like that to get people adopting stuff. And actually, I think, you know, I'm not in the world of DAOs necessarily and things like that yet, which are complicated and they are a maze. But again, if you have a team that sets it up and the rest of the people come in and just, you know, sort of seamlessly fit in, they don't need to know what the nitty gritty and the workings or the piping that goes on and below it, how it works. They just want it to be made easy for them to come in and make things happen, I think. So for us, it's really how we're concentrating on it, you know, coming really from a point of view of climate action is, you know, climate action today is not as mainstream and widespread as it needs to be. We need everyone to get involved. So we see this Web3 and technology as a vehicle to achieve that. It's not what we're trying to bring people to, but trying to give them access to do, if that makes sense. And it's a little bit confusing when I say it like that, but you know, I think that these are just the motorways or the highways that we can actually operate these things out and get access to people.
Yeah, I would just build on that, but I think that people that are working in the social impact space, they have such an important job as ambassadors to bring people that might be skeptical and to help the broader community understand all of the good that can come out of what is being built right now. I think if you look at the narrative around crypto and Bitcoin, 5 or 10 years ago, it was really that you're kind of betting against institutions, you're betting against many things that we take for granted right now, surviving into the future. And so that's a pretty cynical view on where we are headed as a civilization. And I think the others have talked about this, but I think the rebrand to Web3 and specifically the social impact work that is happening to these projects provides the perfect counterexample that this is a optimistic vision of the future, that what you are signing up to is a way to build things better and differently and with intention. So I just think that's so important. I think that what you guys are doing is really, really critical to creating much more acceptance that this is a force for good.
Yeah, I mean, I thank you for everyone's input. I mean, I guess, as Leanne mentioned, you know, it's super easy to bring on like your earliest 1% adopters on that bell curve of adoption, right? But I think the really challenging piece is how do we bring on the kind of your biggest user base, right? And how do we onboard these people? When, again, I guess I specifically looked at DAOs because that's what we're focusing on and coordinating governance across real assets, et cetera. But thinking about how do we create an all-in-one, very easy to use. And you mentioned NBA Top Shots, you know, they were able to kind of front the overhead cost of creating a white label solution, right? And I think it's much more of like thinking about it at the grassroots level, like how can we build initiatives that are actually leveraging the power of Web3 with constrained resources, which oftentimes is a Discord server and a snapshot and a discourse and all these other functions that if you aren't a native to Web3 can actually be super overwhelming. So I think it's just a little bit of what we're thinking about, putting ourselves in the shoes of people who aren't necessarily super into that world and trying to bring them in. But yeah, really appreciate the space and all the work you're all doing.
Gary, I'm curious if you have any lessons about onboarding Gen Zers for whom this kind of world might be a bit more native than, say, folks who worked in business and are used to entering their credit card or just signing up for something and then interacting with their first NFT. What's it been like working with high school students and Gen Zers, and what types of onboarding have worked well for them?
I'll riff a little here. That's a good question. I think most of our community was pretty skeptical of and opposed to starting something in Web3. The dominant narrative is that it's not worth it for the environment, more or less. And It kind of just like actually kind of validates why Future Foundation needs to exist, why Dream Now needs to exist, and so many other projects need to exist. Islands of Cool, et cetera, because you need to see the application. What Leanne was saying, on top of just like technology that, you know, how many people actually think about TCP, IP, like the underlying protocols of things? Nobody.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And so you just see this expensive underlying infrastructure, like environmentally expensive, and you're like, I don't see the point. So how do we both help market things that are showing the point and also help define what the point is? Because I don't think that people, I think it is up to people like us to be like, here is one of the purposes of this technology. It's ultimately to build. So one thing that is really, and Oliver is a great person. Actually, we should bring up Oliver and just chat for a second about this. But painting a very vivid vision of what the future could look like if we're really thoughtful about building Web3 and social impact, AKA like something like a solar punk future, has been very exciting for young people that may not be that technical or may not have been that compelled by the existing use cases so far. Oliver's literally leading a solar punk study group, which I think is actually like a pretty huge to the future of Web3 social impact culture. That's just my guess. Also, like, I'm at least for now really pushing for that.
Oliver, I've invited you up to speak. Not sure if you're in a position to. Oh, here we go, Oliver. Tell us.
Hello. I'm at work, so I was focused on something on my computer. So if somebody could repeat the question.
No worries. Can you speak to? Let's talk about how much having like a visual representation of what the future looked like if Web3 and social impact was really successful, aka solarpunk, and like why you're leading a solarpunk study group, and also the outlines of the campaign.
Yeah, I think so something that like before getting sort of involved with the Dream DAO that really excited me was sort of like hope in reference to climate change. So I took an environmental writing class and was focused a lot on sort of how we can take hope and like, you know, hopeful visions of the future to sort of fight against like apathy and those sorts of things. So I think then like being introduced to like solarpunk as a genre and having the visuals of like, here's what a like sustainable, like harmonious, like future for humanity actually looks like. And then being able to sort of like build systems that can contribute to actually sort of like both designing that future and then, you know, like sort of coming up with the future itself and then sort of working towards it as well, like at the same time.
I'll just jump in and say that sounds epically cool. And in a lot of ways, that's exactly what we're trying to do with art in a 2D sense and you know, allow people to visualize and see what can be. So while we're showing it, you know, in an artistic form, you know, we're actually building that in too. And that's kind of the underlying thing to it and the twist to it, I suppose. But I think, yeah, what you speak about, Oliver, is that mentality or that vision that comes from the, you know, that solarpunk narrative is so important to bringing people into the space, because if you can paint something that people can see and go, oh, this is why we do this, this is what we can achieve with this if we do it right, then you know, this is all possible. And it, you know, everyone needs a little bit of hope and optimism in this world. I think, you know, we're up against a lot of stuff here, but it can all be done, and this is probably why we all sit in this room now listening to one another and speaking to one another, because we actually truly believe that. You know, optimism is, you know, key to moving forward here. And I think, you know, we can use these things to show that to other people and get them involved and in on the, I call it a bit of a crazy bus because it is, but to get on the bus and come with us and do it all together, basically.
No, I love that so much, guys, because there's, oh man, like Oliver, like when you were telling us a little bit about why behind the solarpunk vision, like the line that I just stuck out for me was one of visualizing hope, right? And I think the element of hope and also making it visual is so powerful. And I know in some of the work that that my friends and I do across a number of different spaces, my friend Joe, he teaches a class on design fiction at Berkeley. And what's so amazing is that it just takes this, like everything that Oliver, you were saying about, hey, how might we imagine a potential future, like based off of different trends and based off different signals that we see. And I think the critical question that they then ask is, well, what needs to be true for that future or that potential future to be true, for it to be real? And that's a scaffolding mechanism for us to go from where we are today to where we could be. And when it comes to the state of Web3, and especially in the social impact space, I just find both of those pieces so incredibly important. It's one thing to look at the future and be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool, but man, that could be so daunting or too far away from where we are. But by asking what needs to be true, I look around this Twitter Spaces screen, I'm like, well, yeah, this is true, because these are the different building blocks and the people putting down the blocks for us to get there. So more of a plus one and just one of enthusiasm. And just to say, Leanne, I am on your crazy bus. It's a good bus to be on.
Good.
That's, I think, like, sort of to that idea of, like, a vision, sort of hope, I think, like, something I was really interested before, like, interested in before being introduced to, like, the solarpunk genre is, like, environmental ethics, and sort of, like, looking at the principles of how we can sort of accomplish the change that we want sort of in the world. And I think, like, the aspect of, like, fiction and actually visualizing that future is sort of what I was missing. You know, like we have the hope of wanting to change something, you know, and we sort of have, like, slowly building, you know, the things that we need to get there. But, like, we need to be able to envision, I think, sort of, like, what that looks like.
Yeah, I think, like, what you're saying is a lot of, you know there's an age-old saying, you need to see it to believe it, and I think there's a lot of people that are like that. You know, we are here as early adopters, so we can visualize it ourselves without someone necessarily showing us, but you know, to get that sort of next movement or next wave and the next wealth people behind this is going to take you know, the ones of us here to show them what's possible. And you know, that can be as literal as painting a picture of it, or, you know, creating a, you know, something visual to actually see, or just speaking about it. But I think that is really the key, and I guess exactly why we've gone down this without, you know, you guys made me sort of realize, I think, today that this is exactly what we're trying to do with where we are now with Islands of Cool. But I hadn't really ever thought of it like that. It's just that I wanted to show others what we could actually do here. So I think, yeah, it is about allowing people to see the possible, see what's on top of this technology, and see how it can be used as a real force and opportunity to do some massively good things.
Just to speak to that, I mean, I think for so long the climate narrative has been, don't do this, don't do that, don't pollute, don't throw away this, right? It's been a prohibitive narrative.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really feel, to Oliver's point, what moves us forward, like imagination, ultimately has to be grounded in, like, love and inspiration and beauty rather 100%. Than fear and doom, right? Because I think in fear, we get paralyzed. And just thinking about, like, basic, like, human psychology, whereas, like, love moves us forward. So I think that's kind of that's a lot of where my thinking has changed. And again, it's with my involvement with Cohere, it's how do we, in a very visceral, lived, you know, experience, create spaces for people to really feel like they're living the life that they're called to live, because more and more people are waking up to the fact that they don't want to, you know, rely on massively grown food and would rather live off-grid, in off-grid societies, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, how do we actually bring this forward? And again, it's through the power of imagination. And I'm such a huge fan of the whole solar punk movement. So yeah, I would love to join the solar punk reading group, if that is a thing.
Oliver, you need to figure that out. We've had a bunch of people ask how to join.
You know, I think definitely like something we're figuring out, like in our study group, is like there's a lot of power in sort of in understanding each other through like the visions we have of the future. So I think something that's really important is bringing, you know, as many people as possible into those spaces, because, you know, we need that diversity in sort of collectively like imagining what our future is going to be like.
So I want to use that actually to connect to another area where I think that social impact DAOs and projects in Web3 can lead the way, and that's around collaboration and being able to weave together and compose different types of projects towards greater social impact. So again, this is all very new and nascent, but I'm curious if there are any examples or ideas that that anyone has about how social impact projects in the Web3 space can collaborate and build off of each other.
I mean, I'm happy to provide an example. I've got another project called Lamina Pop, and this is what I originally spoke with Dave about, was selling NFTs that essentially build houses for people. And I think, I forget the name of the project, but it's a YC Combinator company, was also working on this. But I think it's about, but I think really the missing piece for us there was around how do we communicate this and how do we make this like a desirable product for someone, right? I think it's about like the desirability and how social impact is viewed in wider society. So I think that's, and I'm sure for Islands of Cool, you've also faced that, is like, we built this amazing product, how do we make it desirable? You know, and I think that's another conversation as well.
Yeah. And then from what I've seen, at least from the Future Foundation side, and this is possibly one of the best parts of the whole thing, is seeing different projects come together and find organic ways to help each other. Like everything from people looking for different nonprofits that fit a certain theme for a donation platform, or seeing Angel Protocol and Proof of Good DAO, Leyline, figure out different ways to integrate like that. And they talked a little bit about that last week or the last time. So those little bits and pieces, I think, are so interesting. And that really happens from a meeting of the minds. Another way of looking at this is trying to look at this from a stack perspective. And I think what we see with projects like Toucan, and them then creating a mechanism for other people to build on top of them, I think that's a really fascinating way of coordination and collaboration as well. Yeah, that's just another pattern that's worth exploring.
Yeah, just in the ReFi space, which is, you know, sort of decentralized, it's, you know, regenerative finance. And there's this sort of movement on Twitter that we've been sort of swept up in, and it's an amazing community. And we're all even already coming together to say, like, what can we build together? You know, what can be done here? But one of the quotes that was sort of given to me that stuck with me early, because again, like I said, I felt like when we've come into this space, it's more around collaboration than competition. You know, we've all got, you know, if you think about this as a big orchestra, we've got an instrument to play. And if we each play it, and they might be slightly different, and some of us might be, you know, playing the same instrument, we do it slightly differently, we can make something beautiful together, right? And I think this is where, again, whilst we are the early adopters in this space, and maybe we are a bit different to the mainstream, that is powerful. When people go, you know what, we are doing similar things, we've got a lot of overlap, but we also all do our, you know, our own little part to play. We pick up a slightly different person, we appeal to a different audience. That you see why we can work together rather than, you know, it's one that can only win. You know, we can actually all win. We can actually all do this together. You know, and I've come across some amazing people doing amazing projects that my trouble is I want to jump into all of them too, but there's only so much time in the day.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, I can share one example from, you know, my experience a couple months ago, and that was when Gitcoin was doing their latest grants round. and DreamDAO, a few other projects that people know here were included in that grants round. And one of the things I noticed after contributing to projects that I wanted to support was that you could amplify your donation by verifying that you were human or verifying your identity in some way. And so that actually led me to explore a couple other projects that are happening, one of them called Proof of Humanity, which is basically verifying that you are a human, and then you become, you qualify for receiving a universal basic income token stream. Bread ID was another one. And so that led me to explore those two projects so that I could amplify my giving on Gitcoin grants to DAOs and projects that I supported. And by becoming connected with those ones, that also introduced me to Rabbit Hole and other Learn to Earn programs. And I was connected to more and more protocols that were built on top of that. And so it was a very real, for me, example of how I was able to give a modest amount and have that amplified by connecting and learning about lots of other projects in the space.
Carl, I just love following your rabbit hole journey. Because I think all of us have the same or very similar experience here. You pull on one thread and all of a sudden you find yourself like in one random Discord server. And it's like, how the hell did I get here? But man, what I love about this, just if I take a step back is, this is, yes, it's early. We know that meme. But the thing that I love about it is it's almost permissionless, right? People don't need permission to do the things that they want to do. Rather, like this is an ethos that rewards experimentation. It rewards speaking out loud, the way Gary mentioned at the top of the call. There's something really wonderful about that abundance mindset here. Just worth calling out.
Yeah, I love that. I think the barriers are off, and if people vote whether they want you here or not, right? Like you either get support or you don't, right? So it's the chance to just put stuff out, and if people pick it up and run with it, and it moves, you're onto something. If you don't, then you can change it, twist it, pivot it, move it, find a way to fit and move forward as well. And I think you're right that it's that you don't need to ask anyone or get over anything to start building and creating here. And that's what is so exciting, I think, and why we're seeing such amazing things crop up.
100%. I know that we're almost towards the end of our hour here, so I'll leave you with two final questions, one final question to the two of you. And that's really, what does kind of the near term look like? What are some of the things that you're trying to do over the next couple months that are on your roadmap or in your plans? And are there any ways that people who are here today can contribute or support that you need from the community?
Yeah, for us, really, we've obviously, like I said, we've got Island One out there. And we're looking to fill the rest of our table out. We're going to be doing that fairly organically by talking to a lot of people, building awareness. If you like what we're doing, please obviously give us a follow, tell your friends, that kind of thing. Joining the table is a big thing. I understand that, but if anyone is interested, please reach out. We'll be happy to chat through it. Really for us, the next step is moving forward. We're doing things more in the Web2 space, but integrating Web3. So for example, we're working with Shopify now, the e-commerce platform, to help their merchants actually build our NFTs, which are these digital carbon sponges, right? So they have carbon removal built it up front and then continue to do so as these things are bought, sold and traded. So that's our plan now is to really focus in on doing that. But also we're actually trying to take a step into integrating further with the existing crypto community out there. So whilst we're starting in the space and we haven't been necessarily attracting the people that are already here, we were trying to bring others in. We're now going to take the next step into working with the people who are already here. The reason to do that is because we see massive opportunity really in a fantastic community, people that are here. But not only that, there's a chance to make impact, right? And when I talk about that, there's funds flowing through this that can be used for what we're trying to use. For carbon removal especially. So we're looking at a PFP drop. When I say that, I put bunny ears, not that you can see me, but it's our take on that, which is something slightly different. We don't want to be another Ape out there, for example. But we are working on our own creative way. What we try and do is slightly reimagine everything and make it a little bit cool, a little bit exciting, and of course, always impactful. So look out for that. You'll hear about it if you're following us. But that's our plans, is really just to kind of fully integrate into the space a bit more, get our presence here, but also work in what I would call is transitioning with two into this space as well.
Sounds very exciting, Leanne. I'll be quick. I think probably the best way to support is literally just following us on Twitter and DreamDAO at DreamDAO _ and retweeting our posts. And just staying tuned for when we have more opportunities for new members, because like our philosophy is we onboard a bunch of members like at a given time for a given phase, and then we onboard another group of members when the next phase is ready to start, and that next phase will probably start around end of April, but in the meantime just like stay aware of what we're up to. I think primarily via Twitter, because we're actually doing a much better job of keeping our community and supporters informed with our DreamDAO Twitter than we did with Civic Unplugged, which is actually like something I'm working on now to like make our Civic Unplugged social media presence a lot better. But I think you should be able to just follow an organization's social media to know a lot of what's relevant. But yeah, again, Carl and Dave, thanks so much for this opportunity to talk a little bit more about DreamDAO. An honor to share the stage with Leon.
Right back at you, Gary, and thank you guys, really appreciate it. It's great to be part of the Future Foundation fam and have a chance to share what we're doing, but also share with all of you guys your journeys as well. So really, really cool. Thank you so much.
Yay. Thank you both so much.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody. And Carl, thank you for hosting, as always.
Of course. Yeah,
thanks, Carl.
This is my fortnightly dose of optimism and inspiration. So thank you so much for sharing everything. I hope those who listened in and those who listened to the recording get as much out of it as we all did. So thank you. Happy Friday, Leanne, and happy Thursday to the rest of you.
Wonderful. See thanks, guys. See Bye-bye. You later.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Web3 Social Impact Space with Future Foundation, recorded on Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep it hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Laser beam focused, Starscream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all erect with the dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. A little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next bill. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter. We was all hyped up when the pedal lit the metal. He just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, right off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Then envision in the middle men. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terror spaces.